Okay, this is September 28th, and tonight is questions and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all at once is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make this essential truth of our being known, so that everyone realizes that they are connected in some form, shape, or whatever you want to call it, to the whole universe, to everything that's going on. We're connected to it. We are not separated from anything. That was an old teaching that has had its day and must go out. We are teaching here a unity, that we are one with this thing that we call God, this one with this thing that we call the universe, and that we can use our connection to this power, to this wisdom, to this intelligence, to bring goodness into our lives, so that we are always, we're the ones that are responsible. It's done with our thinking always. What we think about, we bring it. So we're always trying to think bigger, better thoughts about ourselves and about life itself. So many people think life is horrible. So many people never see the beauty in everything. Last night, there was that eclipse of the moon. That's a beautiful event. It won't happen again for 33 years. So these are wonderful things that are out there for us to see and to be one with all that, you see. So I don't know why people have a difficult time seeing beauty in the world. It's everywhere. It's just everywhere, beauty. So let's concentrate always on the beauty and how wonderful life is. Now let me quickly say something about the Pope again. I thought he did a marvelous job while he was here, and I thought his talk to the Congress was wonderful. And then somebody were asking people, and somebody said, well, he's so godlike. Well, he is godlike because he's using those qualities that we can all use. We all have godlike qualities in us. He is bringing them to the forefront of his life, and he's using that. And I think that's wonderful. And that's what we're here trying to do ourselves, is to find that and not be afraid or ashamed or anything. I think when I was growing up, if you would have said, oh, I'm one with God, they would have knocked you down and said, who the hell do you think you are? You can't be one with God. God is something, blah, 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 whatever they think about God. We don't have to think that way anymore in our lives. We know that this thing, which we cannot explain exactly what God is, but there is a power for good in the universe, and we are one with that power for good. And we want to see that good in us, see that good in everybody. And the more we see good in ourselves, in other people, and in life itself, the more we will produce that. You see, we're the ones that are creating the reality. And we're the ones, if we sit down and say to ourselves, I have all these wonderful qualities, the same qualities that we attribute to this thing we call God is in me right here and right now. And I'm bringing them to the forefront of my life. I'm bringing them to the forefront of my life. Instead of hiding or saying, sometimes my mind says to me, oh, Dallas, give it up, you know. It's a wonderful thought, but you have to do something about that thought. You know, we all think, oh, yeah, that sounds good. Now it's time for it not only to sound good, it's time for us to be good, and it's time for good to come to us. And that's what we're going to do. And next month, we're going to talk about treatment or prayer. And why does it work and why doesn't it work? We'll take the mystery out of it. Because you can be in this teaching and come to these classes, and I can come up with all kinds of subjects and stuff which sound very good. But if you can't do a treatment and get what you want, then this teaching's not working. It's not working for you. You have to know that, and you have to be able to bring into your life what you want. So we'll work on that all next month. I think it's a wonderful thing, was Andy's suggestion. We'll do that because those are the basics. You see, once we get talk about treatment, people say, well, I'm doing treatments this way and that way and blah, 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 whatever. They forget everything else, you know. Treatment or prayer, whatever you want to call it, absolutely works. And why does it work for some and not for others? By the way, you weren't here this coming month in 10 days or something. Doug the Baptist will be with us. Mm-hmm. And Doug the Baptist, you know, he looks at life completely differently than I do, but he always gets what he wants because he knows how to pray. Now, how does he pray? He says, God, I'd like this. Thank you very much. And he has that faith. He has that faith and that belief that it's going to happen for him, and it happens for him. So there is always, what you want to realize is, there is something out there listening to us. Whatever it is, you can call it anything, but there is something out there that not only listens to us, it's interested in us, and it wants us to succeed. It wants us to succeed. And that's the difference in this teaching, you know. This thing wants us to succeed. It wants us to have a wonderful, abundant, prosperous life where we feel good about ourselves. I know a lot of people have a lot of money and they do not feel good about themselves. What's the sense of having all that if you don't feel good about yourself? So we'll learn to feel good about ourselves, okay? So, with that said, I'm open for any question.
I have a question. The statement, God always makes a way where there appears to be none.
Yes.
How can you speak on that? How do you utilize that in your life?
Okay.
Like for example, there are things that we would like to manifest.
Right.
That aren't something that you can't just go out and buy. There are things that you're like trying to make come into your life. How do you ask for it? How do you look for it? How do you take action towards it?
All right. Well, that in the statement that you just made, there's points to that step, or not steps. There's three different things on that. I'm always divinely guided. I always take the right turn in the road. And God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. God will make a way for you. And that's what we're trying to do in this teaching. Now, how do you do that? You do that by saying that, Andy, by believing that, and then looking around for proof. Looking around for proof. You see? I said to Christine at dinner tonight, did you know that you were being divinely guided? She made a very good investment, but she didn't know she was being divinely guided. She thought it was luck. She thought it was everything else. You have to immediately say, thank you. And that's how you build your faith. You have to know that this thing called God, the universe or something, directed you in that way. Now, why did it direct you in that way? Because in your mind, you want money. You want prosperity. You want abundance. You love those things. You keep thinking those in your mind. And it outpictures itself in life by you buying the right stock. You see? Does that make sense to you? Does that help you any?
Well, to a degree. so my question was, God makes a way where there appears to be none, and then you enumerated the two things that you also have to believe. I'm finally guided. I always take the right turn of the road. God always makes a way where there appears to be none. So what I'm taking away from this then is the step that I need to take is to believe more.
Yes. I think I've said this to you many, many times. God never asks you to try harder. God asks you to believe more. It's all done in believing. And people keep trying. They do all this other stuff, but they don't let it believe. And you have to watch your belief systems, because that just slipped by you. Once I explained it to you, now it makes sense, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But your mind left it go right by. It didn't say, oh yes, you're a blessed person, look what God's done for you. It didn't say that.
So this concept then, you know, to go further down the path of believing more, what does that look like? What is believing more? What sort of actions can you take to believe more? What can you? How do you strengthen your beliefs? How do you?
By talking to yourself constantly and getting rid of all the negations that are going on in your head. You have to know that you're filled with self-confidence. And you gain that self-confidence because you're one with this thing called the universe. So it's always going to work out for you.
Can I add something about my experience?
Oh, yeah.
Also, I think because I was inspired to purchase this stock out of love,
yes,
that I got like this whole manifold back that I wasn't expecting to get back.
Right.
So I think that accounts for something.
Well, it does account for something. Love and God are the same thing. You can't separate God and love. People, you know, say that they, but you don't. Oh, love brought it to me. If you say love brought it to you, it's the same as saying God brought it to you. So love more. And as you love more, you start to believe more.
So this is related. So if you're, these are what you talked about at the top of the night here. If you're feeling good, if you have a feeling of unity, if you think about you're going to bring about what you think about because you're feeling good and you're easy with this teaching, so that's the place you want to be. And then we just talked about getting rid of negation, which has to do with like watching your thinking.
Yes.
So if you're trying to monitor your thinking and control your thoughts so that you have the thoughts that you want to think, is there a process to watching that, to getting rid of that?
Yes, well, you have to become a witness to your own thinking. Now, when my mind does something that I don't want it to do, I say, no, we're not going down that road, you see, because we can all go. It's just a choice. If you want to think positive, if you want to think negative, if you want to think these things, you can. And of course, the mind will always justify everything that you do. That person didn't call me on the telephone. He doesn't like me anymore. I'm not going to call him because he didn't call me. Now, you see, my mind justifies that. And then I stop myself, Andy, and I hear myself doing that, and I say, no, I'm not going down that road. I will pick up the phone and call that person. I will make take the initiative to get rid of that, because I don't want that anymore in my life. You see, I want all of life, society, and all we think of over here to be different. And it's so built into our culture and so built into our lexicon. It's very difficult. Look at the ideas that we get. We say a mother-in-law. Everyone, well, my God, they're the worst people in the world. Where do we get mother-in-law? Why do we get that? Because they make jokes all the time. Every time you see a movie or anything, it's always they load everything on the mother-in-law. I want to change that. So I change that in my own mind. I do not buy in to all that stuff that goes on out there and say, oh yeah, that's true. You see, that's the way it is. I don't buy into the idea that every 2 seconds a robbery occurs. I can't buy into that. You see? Now, people do, and the more you buy into it, the more it's going to happen. Does that help any?
Yes. So the question that makes me want to ask next is as you're monitoring your thinking, you're really saying like being present, being in the now, being in the moment,
being aware,
of,
being mindful.
I know that when I'm rehearsing acting and like I'm doing a scene, like when I'm present, it's better. It's more connected than when I'm just going on automatic. However, that being said, is there a way to be to because it's like it's hard to like stay like, you know, coming back now. It's hard to stay in the moment all the time because it's like it's. But maybe there's a way to make being present automatic.
Well, you have to make being present automatic. And the thing is, you see, the world is very convincing. Everything around you is convincing. And it's always trying to get your attention. People are always trying to get your attention. Your own mind is trying to get your attention. And as soon as you give that attention out of yourself, it's gone. The moment has gone. So you have to say, whoops, I'm not going to go there again. I'm not going to go down there. Now, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Have you made up your mind that you can do this?
Yes.
Good. And that it's going to happen for you?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm here.
Yes. No, but it's time now for you to make that an absolute decision, Andy, because over the years, what I see is you ask the same question. You say it in a different way, but it's the same question every time when we have questions and answers. You want to know how it absolutely works because you don't think you know how to work it. You have to say to yourself, I know exactly how to work this, and I'm working it right here and right now. You see the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any more questions?
No.
Okay. So in this,
I absolutely know what I'm doing now.
Yeah. You have to. That's how it works. You have to do that. Another question, Christine?
If you tell me to absolutely know what you're doing, you'd have to ask me.
Nah. Well, is there sometimes a time frame? Is there something about the time?
There's no time in the mind of God.
Okay.
You see, now you're thinking you're in the world again. We are in this world, but you may not be of this world. But there's no time in the mind of God. Absolutely none. I think I told you this story years ago now in the 1920s maybe. There was a convention of religious science people. And the woman, I can't remember her name now, stood up, always during the war, she stood up at a convention and said, there is no war in the mind of God. And it blew the audience away because how can you say that when this war is going on? There's no war in the mind of God. God's mind is always peaceful. And that's what you have to realize. It's always peaceful. And you can bring yourself to that. You can bring yourself to that peace, you see. And now while I'm at it, I'd also like to say how grateful we are that the two of you are back. You really are an example to the class, or at least to me. And I think it's wonderful that you do this and that you're doing this and that you know that healing is taking place in you right here and right now. Same way with you. Healing. Because God is only healing. God is only healing. And so many people think, oh, God did this. God did not do this to Paula. God did not do anything to John either. Things happen. Now, metaphysically, you could go through. It doesn't matter. You deal with what's in front of you. And you make it good. You see? just, you don't let your mind say, oh, did I have the wrong thought? Did this happen, you know, when I was a little girl? Was I mean or something? No, it has nothing to do with any of that. Things happen. But you're taking care of it, and you're going to be victorious over it, you see. And you will both come out of these situations stronger, much stronger, and with much more faith, you see. So we're always building our faith, and we have to do it. I have to do that. I sit down and correct myself and tell my, you know, have to get myself together here, you see. Otherwise, I'll go down the tubes with everybody else, and I don't want to do that, you see. And when I go, of course, to the land of Nod, they're completely in a different frame of mind than I am. And they, you know, I'll tell you the cutest one. My brother, I talked to him the other day, and I said, oh, Jack, I understand you've changed churches again. Because from this Peachtree Presbyterian Church, now they're back at a church they used to go to in Grantham. I don't know the name of the church, but it's in Grantham. And I said to Jack, why did this happen? Why did you do this? He said, oh, that church, Dallas, he said, you know church people. They just bicker and they gossip and they do this and they do that. And I thought, Jack, you and your wife are those church people. You're the one that's doing the gossiping and you're not, you know. But I didn't say anything. I just let them talk. And I take that in, but I do not let it throw me into any kind of mental state whatsoever. Years ago would have. Now it doesn't. They have to figure that out. And what do I do? People say, well, what do you say to them? I don't say a thing to them. That's their life. I love them, and I just keep loving them, you see? And if they change, they change. If they don't, I'm still going to love them. It's as easy and simple as that. Oh. Question, my dear?
I'm still formulating.
Okay. Well, I was looking at Christine and it came through my mind. I hope that everyone realizes that this thing that we call love is the greatest power, you know. It will get you through anything. It will do wonders for you just to sit and love. Sit and love what? Sit and love yourself, you see. Just sit and love yourself and know that you've done nothing wrong whatsoever. You have to keep in the forefront of your mind that you always are the beloved in whom this thing we call God is well pleased. We're all beloved. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to remember, you see. People say, oh, I want somebody to love me. Oh, shut up. You know, you're already loved all these, you know. Start then with yourself. Love yourself and go out from there. Oh, if somebody only loved me, I'd feel better. No, you won't feel better, and no one wants you. You don't want to be. You don't want to be in that with those people that don't love them. You know, be around loving people. Great power in it. Just great power in it. So, and that you just have to remind yourself that. During the day, you have to tell yourself all this stuff. We've heard all this stuff for years that goes shoo, shoo, in and out. Now you have to, oh, that makes sense. And then build it. Build on it with your own thinking, you see. Build on that.
So it's about, you know, feeling love for people, but not necessarily being around them if they're not loving.
No. Sometimes the best way you can love somebody is if they're 3,000 miles away. We'll see. And also this idea of loving people doesn't mean you have to take them to lunch. We'll see. Some of these people I never take to lunch. But I have to love them, you see? I have to love them. So it's done with that. And we can all do it. See? So don't doubt yourself, you see? And I think that's one of the things the Pope, I mean, he's been doing this. He's 76, I think, so I don't know how many years. He's been praying and putting his mind into order. So now his mind is, you know, he looks around and sees nothing but love. He sees nothing but love. So, love yourself. Start with that. And know that you're being taken care of, Andy. That everything is going to work out the way you want it to. You see? And get rid of any little doubts and fears that that isn't going to happen.
What do you mean by putting your mind in order? What does that mean?
Putting your mind in order? Well,
you said the
yeah, put your mind in order so that you're thinking the right thought. You see, instead of going down the tubes and saying, oh, I'm not going to do that because of blah, 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 or whatever is going on out there. You see. Like the traffic and all that kind of stuff. That has nothing to do with anything. I can't be concerned about all the nits and fleas in life. People talk about things that I will never talk about. What are they that they're so concerned about? Well, they're always concerned about the traffic. People want to know how many miles do you get per gallon on your car? I wouldn't know, nor do I care. If I don't have the money to fill it up, I stop driving. But to make that a big thing in your life, you know, it is a big thing in people's lives. The other thing that gets me is, what's the mileage on your tires? What are you going to... But I knew that when I... See, my mind would not spend any energy on something that dumb. You know? And you hear people, they're worried about all these little wee things. I'm not worried about any of that stuff.
So what happens when you have money to pay your rent?
When you run out of money to pay your rent, you have to know that it's coming. You see?
But you know you're going to run out.
Yeah. Don't know. You're never going to run out of money. Pardon?
I'm running out of patience.
You're running out of patience. Well, that's a different thing.
What do you mean? Well, I have a son, 62. He has to go into surgery. He's been bleeding for maybe 6 months, maybe a year almost. And I get from town and go, check it out. No, it's okay. I'll just smoke my bottle. I'll be all right.
Yeah.
He's okay. So he went this morning, and they told him he has to have surgery in the morning. Now here he's 62, I'm 90. I don't know what's going on. What kind of surgery? He doesn't tell me anything. I don't know. You know, I don't even know the clinic he's going because he has no insurance. And I'm worried. What is he going to do when they're going to bring him back? What am I going to do with him? I can't take care of him. I'm too old. I need to care of myself. So, I don't know.
All right, so let's know
I'm
that that's.
About it.
No, well, stop worrying. Be concerned. Worry will get you nowhere. Just be concerned for him, and let's know that it's all going to work out perfectly for him, and that people will be there to help you. You know, no, not hope. No, we'll help you. I can come over. You know, I'm very good at this. So, those are the thoughts you want to get corrected there. You see. That's putting your mind in order.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was
very upset. Well, yeah. Well, I can understand that. But it'll just let them.
He cannot stand on his own feet, and he never did.
Right.
Since he's been young. So, I always took care of him. said, no, I can't. I don't know if he knows.
Well, I'm sure he doesn't, because people look at you and the way you go and can't. They think that you're capable of doing all this stuff, and your children think that you're capable, and they admire you immensely for all this, because most people at 90 aren't out doing the stuff you're doing, Rose. So we'll get through this. We'll help you get through it. Yes, well, know that this thing called God is going to help you. Yeah. It will.
So you just mentioned organized thought. Is organized prayer a thing too?
Oh yes, everything is organized. What is the first law of heaven?
Organization.
Order, yes.
Order, sorry.
It's always the first law of heaven is order. So when you're ever doing anything, you have to. I used to work for a woman that said, let's put our ducks in a row. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that old saying? Mm-hmm. And most people, their ducks are everywhere. Get your ducks in a row and everything will work out.
I have a hard time with organizing.
But you're organized, you see. You don't know. Because you're not organized like other people, you think you're not organized.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah, I know that's true. See, we compare ourselves to other people. We cannot do that. Everyone does it differently, and God's working in us and through you differently than he's working through me and thee. Mm-hmm. You see? I'm horrible. I hate paper. And I hate paperwork. I just let it stack up till I finally have to sit down. She had to get through that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know? Other than that, I'm pretty orderly, you know, and organized. But that I'm not with either. But I keep going. And say, this is my system, you know. And I can always find everything, you know. I write everything down in 3x5 cards in my college room. So Dallas, what a system. Of course, he was always secretarial, you know. But that guy, he could do all that, and I hated that. Yes, typing and all. He could do all that. I didn't. I just and he has an address book with everything in it. I have an address book, but most of it's just cards. And I looked at, you know, like the day when I called you, I said, oh, I know where that card is. I pull out my drawer and I pull a card out that says Paula. So they, you know, so it works for me. Yes,
you have your own system.
I have my own system, absolutely, and I think we all have to have our own system, and that's what we're going to learn next, this coming month, with prayer or treatment. It's your system. You know, everyone wants a secret, and they say other people don't, and then they want to pick up their system. No, pick up your own system and make your own system work for you. There's not one way to do any of this stuff, and they like to tell you there's one way, you know. And there's not one way to do it. All roads lead to God. We're all moving forward on different roads, but we're all going to wind up at the same place. So think of those things. So it's just ignoring all that stuff that goes on in the world out there, you know, and getting so involved with it. If you get involved with all that stuff, you'll never get anywhere, you know. That's why I don't do news or any of that kind of stuff. Then I get, you know, or that SPCA advertisers that go on television, I have to turn it off immediately. You know, or I'd be out adopting every dog that came down, you know. You know, I'd take them all. But you have to watch yourself for the different things. So, any more questions there, Andy?
Nope.
When you have somebody who's not loving, say, in your life, What would you say, you know, would be a good affirmation maybe for that situation?
I know that that person is completely filled with love, but I cannot see it. You see. Mm-hmm. I had a woman, and she was in her 80s, that was a Unity person from Unity. And she one day said to me, "You know, Dallas, I just can't quite understand this." I said, "Well, what is it you can't understand?" She said, "This thing of loving everybody." She said, "I have to find it difficult to love these people." She said, "I'm able to do it, but," she said, "you know, some of them are just nothing but rotten son of a bitches." But she said, "I can see the good in them." And that's what they are. But you have to look past all that and know that, you know, that it's love. And the more and more you love that person will eventually show that love. You see. My cousin and his wife are having very difficult times with their son when they lived in Virginia. I mean, he was, I guess, a regular teenager, drinking and doing and not showing up for work and staying out and then have to go get him and all kinds of stuff. And they said, "What can we do about this, Dallas?" I said, "You have to sit down and just keep loving him and loving him and loving him till he changes. Let that love change him." Love will always bring up anything unlike itself to cast it out, and it gets rid of it. That boy today is married to a wonderful wife, has a beautiful home in Arizona, has a good job. See, he didn't turn into whatever. He turned into a crook or whatever it was. But I said, just keep loving him. Don't keep saying, "Oh, you're horrible and you made mistakes and you're this, that, and this is going to happen to you." So just love him.
If you identify a lack, something that's lacking in your life, and you love, can you love that? Will are you increasing the lack of that, or are you?
No. You have to start out with the premise: I lack nothing in my life. And then, as you look around, and
is there a way to say that without saying the word lack? Because lack is sort of negative.
Yeah, you can use any way you want to say it. But then if you do discover that you're lacking something, do something about it. We can become anything we want. We can change anything. We can
When you say do something about it, what do you mean do something about it?
Well, just don't sit there and say, "I'm lacking in this area," and then do nothing about it. You always have to do something. In religious science, we have a little words, there's a little catchphrases. You must always treat and move your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Treat and move your feet. Most people treat, but they never move their feet. You're not going to get something that way. See? You're not going to get something that way. You have to do the movement. Help?
Yeah, so is the treating loving that?
Oh, yes.
So you love it,
yes.
You love something until you have an inspiration, and then you take an action on that inspiration.
You see, when most people are still, even in the religious science and so forth, when they think, "Oh boy, now we're something," we just changed the word prayer to treatment. Now, treatment. Now, what does that treatment mean? It means treating your mind to something good. It's not, but people still think, "I do a treatment, I'm treating God's mind, and now God will change and do that." You can't change the mind of God, people. You could only change your mind, and you can change your mind by using treatment to get there. But not this idea that you do a treatment and God's going to do this, that, and the other thing. No. But treatment works, people. I've used it 30 years now, and I know that it works. And I know tons of people who use it, and it works for them. You just must never give up on that idea that it works. And it will work for you. This whole teaching, you know, is based on a mathematical equation. 2 and 2 equal 4. If I know 2 and 2 equal 4, you people have to know that. And that 2 and 2 equal 4 has to be throughout the entire universe. So if we do a treatment and we know it's going to work, it has to be mathematical. So we're just working with equations, people. And we'll learn how to do that. And we'll make it simple and easy and so forth. So that you know how to do it. But it's changing your mind. It's trying and becoming the person that you always wanted to be. See, you know the person you want to be. Now you must go out and make that come to you. Okay? So, anyway, all these things are absolutely wonderful. And you can use them to bring into your life what you want. And that is what we are going to do next month. But we have to pound it into our heads. We're going to get this, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, I love you. And that's the end of the lesson tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Thank you.